As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to playoff week of the Buffalo Beat. This is the third time in 4 years that we've had a playoff preview podcast edition here. And I don't know about you all, but this one feels just a tiny bit different for the way that this Bills team is coming into the game. Certainly 13-3 has something to do with it, but also with the way that their quarterback is playing as well. My name is Joe Biscali. With me, as always, is my podcast co-host, Matthew Fairburn. And the Bills, of course, are taking on the Colts at Bills Stadium Saturday, 1 o'clock. It's going to be a pretty fun time, especially because it's a unique year that it'll be the first time ever that a seventh team from each conference makes the playoffs. And making it even more ridiculous, the seventh seed in the AFC playoffs comes in with 11 victories. So yes, it should be many different things to look forward to in this game. But Matthew Fairburn, when you are looking at this game and seeing what both these teams bring to the table, I guess what immediately stands out? Is it the history between Reich and the Bills? Is it the actual meaning to this current regime of the Bills? I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can approach this thing.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've talked about often throughout the season is how significant a measure of progress it will be if they are able to win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think expectations have risen beyond that this season, but it's still, you know, the number one marker for them taking a step forward compared to last season, even with everything that they accomplished in their 13-3 AFC's championship, you know, regular season. I think inside that building, they think this is what matters. You know, the next four games, at least they hope the next four games, but this one in particular, getting that first one, doing it at home, doing it in front of, you know, a small group of fans, and not being that team that, look, I think there's a lot of built up, you know, fear among Bills fans waiting for the other shoe to drop. And some of that has melted away this year because of the way this team has played. But there's got to be some, I'm sure there's a lot of that anxiety building, you know, as you head up to a playoff game. And everybody is picking the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody thinks the Bills are going to win this game. And they have to, you know, flip that switch from being the underdogs and playing that card to, you know, being the alpha dogs that are expected to win and do it anyways, which is what they've done most of the season. And now it's about doing it when it matters. And, you know, this Colts team was on the list of, you know, teams that we said would be a good matchup for the Bills, and I still think that's the case. But they're an 11-win team. So I think this is a test of the Bills' maturity as a contender to be able to take this situation and how positively everybody's talking about them, how heavily favored they are in this game, and take care of their business.
Just exemplifying what you're saying, your friend and mine and friend of the show, Matt Bove, put out a video from practice today of every single, well, most of the Bills roster getting in a circle and dancing to Can't Touch This by MC Hammer. I mean, it's pretty hilarious, but also shows how loose they are and how loose they were in that setting. Kind of reminds me of how loose they were heading into the game against Seattle. It just had that same sort of air to it. But just with that video in itself, I mean, you see Colts players and the official Colts Twitter account saying, okay, sure, you be loose for that game. And Darius Leonard liking the original post. Like, there's just so many ways for them to build into themselves, and the Colts I'm talking about, that they are the underdogs and basically usurping the underdog mentality, which Sean McDermott holds near and dear to his heart, as do the rest of his team, and to try and now, like you said, flipping that switch to becoming the ones that are expected to and actually delivering a victory. That is such a huge step in their evolution, because if they want to sustain this thing, and, you know, inside the building, they think they can sustain this thing, especially with Josh Allen playing as well as he has, and if he can continue that along over the next few years, then this is the start of a pretty solid winning window here. But they have to learn right away that playing with expectations is just as important as being the plucky underdog, if not more important, because then now you have championships on the line. And I think everyone has kind of taking off the safety goggles here. It happened probably around, I don't know, the LA Chargers game, maybe the San Francisco game. It seemed like that was the time when everyone started to go, whoa, can this team actually win the Super Bowl? And then they just went and absolutely crushed it the next few weeks after that. And now it's totally within the lexicon of Bills fans to say the words Super Bowl when it was basically thought of as saying the word Voldemort in one of the late Harry Potter books. Like eventually a Death Eater is going to come and snatch you away if you say Voldemort. But that's how the word Super Bowl was felt forever. And now it's not that. So this is such a huge, important first step for them to kind of move themselves forward to where they eventually want to get to.
Yeah, they'll likely be favored in each of their first two playoff games, particularly playing at home. You know, again, assuming they get to a second playoff game, but that's what we're dealing with, not just a team that's favored in the first round and expected to win a first round matchup, but all of a sudden becoming that, you know, flashy Super Bowl pick for a lot of people, because they've got a lot of the ingredients that we talked about in terms of playing well, you know, at the right time, having a quarterback who's getting hot, right when you would like, for him to do so. And, you know, a little bit of playoff experience and failure, which I think is one of those ingredients people look for in a potential Super Bowl team, a team that's gotten there but didn't quite get all the way, and now, you know, has a little bit of that, you know, same team coming back and trying to do it again. And there's definitely, you know, an impact that has. You know, these guys have either A, talked about that Houston game, you know, as a point of pride or whatever you want to say, you know, a galvanizing moment, something that they don't want to happen again, but they've also been repeatedly asked about it. And that's stuff that, you know, they come back to, you know, after a game. You guys wouldn't stop asking about this, and this. So, you know, there's that element of this team. And then there's just the fact that they're really good. They've been blowing teams out for about a month now. So, you know, I think handling all that at this time of year is vitally important, because the last time the Bills hosted a playoff game was back in 1997, so the 1996 season, and they were heavy favorites in that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they lost a close game. So, you know, if Jim Kelly doesn't get hurt in that game, maybe it goes differently. But and it's a long time ago. It has nothing to do with this team, but it's more so a reminder that Bills fans probably don't need, which is in the playoffs, some weird things can happen. You know, Tom Brady got knocked out early last year. The Ravens had an early exit a year ago. So you can't really assume anything in the postseason, even if this is on paper a pretty good matchup for the Bills.
Yeah, and that's the important part, because the Colts are good. Like, they wouldn't be in the playoffs if they weren't a good team. And it's not like it's the Bears sneaking in on a loss at 8-8. This is a team that had to win and get help to get in. So they are not taking this playoff position for granted, especially with how things went for them last year after having some solid momentum the year before, losing Andrew Luck the way that they did. You know, this has been kind of a weird journey for this Colts team, and now they've gotten back to the playoffs. And they're 11-5 in a year where they lost week one to Jacksonville. And that ended up being Jacksonville's only win of the year. So a lot of intrigue for this Colts team, and they do a lot of things well. So I think that's probably the good place to transition to get into this matchup, because there are so many different elements that make this a really unique one. And I think the first place we should start is the same reason why so many people are picking the Bills to win this game outright, and that would be Josh Allen and what challenges / advantages he could have in a game like this one. You know, you have Allen going up against a very talented and a good minded defensive coordinator and Matt Eberflus. And when you have those two battling wits, so to speak, it's going to be on the Colts defensive coordinator to try and give Josh Allen looks he hasn't seen in a while, or maybe looks that he hasn't seen. Because if the Colts just sit back and only rush four, like, this Bills team is going to, they're going to pick them apart. And Josh Allen is not afraid of throwing past zone windows and all of these different things. He has proved that time and time again, to where he will make the tough throws against the zone. He won't just settle for the short stuff, because that's the way the Colts are pretty much set up. They want you to throw underneath. They want to take advantage of their fast linebackers and their tackling ability. But if you're pushing the issue on them, then that is going to be a problem for them. And that's what we've seen kind of established throughout the second half of the season, where their pass defense has really looked in shambles, even when they've been fully healthy. And they're not even going to have a talented young corner in Rock Ya-Sin in this game. So a lot of different ways to kind of look at this thing. But I think the Colts defensive coordinator, above all else, is going to have to do something creative here to force Allen to get uncomfortable, because Allen has been comfortable for a long time now, a long stretch of games. And the only way I think to slow them down is to do exactly what I'm saying. And maybe that's unique pressure packages, disguised blitzes, bringing a late linebacker, bringing a late safety to where the offensive line doesn't recognize it right away. I mean, these are the things that they're going to need to be able to slow down Josh Allen. And, you know, that's going to be one of the biggest things to track here.
Yeah, over the last, well, if you take out week 17, because they were up against Mike Glennon, the 4 weeks
how dare you, by the way.
You know, Mike Glennon, he does have a great deep ball, but we're going to exclude the game against Mike Glennon just for the purposes of Mike Glennon is not quite Josh Allen. Not that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and Derek Carr are even, Josh Allen at this point. But I think there was also a few games against the Titans sprinkled in from weeks 13 to week 16. The Colts allowed quarterbacks on passes that traveled at least 15 yards in the air. The Colts allowed quarterbacks to complete 62% of those attempts for 16.5 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Even Ben Roethlisberger, who was barely throwing the ball downfield, as Bills fans saw in their meeting with one another, even he had 5 of 9, you know, on passes 15 or more yards in the air for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns, which might have been, you know, one of the Colts' worst performances defending the deep pass. So, and Rocky Sin was one of the biggest culprits in that game. He won't be playing, but it's just hard to see how this secondary will figure it out against the Bills, unless, like you said, there's something that they can cook up scheme-wise. Because the Bills' offense has been really hard to stop for 4 quarters. We've seen that they can be slowed down. There are teams that have managed to make them look you know, average at times for stretches of games. The Dolphins did it for a quarter last week. The Chargers did it for a while in that game. The Cardinals managed to do it for a little while until Josh Allen had a good end to that game. So the team that, you know, could beat this Bills team, if they can be beaten, is a team that can figure that out for 4 quarters or at least 3. Yeah. You know, not let Josh Allen get a full half in where he's really firing the way that he was even in the second quarter against the Dolphins. So the Colts don't blitz very often. They are, you know, a team that, you know, blitzes at a, you know, in terms of frequency, they're down near the bottom of the league in how often they blitz. But when they do, they have a guy like Darius Leonard who can certainly cause big plays. And, you know, as you mentioned, he's a little fired up for this one. Not just the dancing video, but he's a little fired up that the Bills took Tremaine Edmonds over him that year in the draft. And, you know, why not? That's been his fuel since he basically entered the league. Darius Leonard has been liking tweets and fired up about how many teams passed on him. So not a surprise that he's using that this week. He's a guy that likes to use anything and everything to fire himself up. But he's a problem. He flies around the field and he can make big plays. DeForest Buckner is another guy that it's part of the reason, you know, they don't have a great pass rush, but Buckner creates a lot of it. And, you know, from the interior, he can be an issue. Justin Houston will probably be up against Deion Dawkins. And I think Deion Dawkins can handle Houston at this stage in each of their careers, more so than probably a few years ago. But that is still an experienced pass rusher who's been around, you know, playoff football, playoff games. So that's a test for Deion Dawkins. Not letting those guys get through and, you know, giving Josh Allen the time that he's had, that's been a huge piece of the puzzle to this offense over the last, you know, month plus, is how comfortable he's been back there, how much time he's had to move around and let plays develop and, you know, kind of freelance and make plays on the fly at times. That's all been, you know, it all starts up front. And that, you know, we haven't had to talk much about, you know, issues along the offensive line because there haven't been many. They've really been pretty solid. So that'll be a big part of this, because without that pressure, without, you know, Buckner or Leonard, you know, wrecking things, it's hard to see on the back end, you know, how the Colts manage to slow everybody down unless Stephon Diggs is seriously hampered by this oblique injury, which doesn't seem likely at this point. You know, watching him move around, and he missed a practice, so it's not as if it's nothing, but it's the playoffs. He's going to play. I would be shocked if he didn't play. And, you know, they've got means for making the any injury not feel quite so painful on a Saturday afternoon. So I'm sure he'll be fine. Beasley, a little bit different, but still plenty of pieces. And, you know, Diggs is the main one. You know, how do the Colts stop him? Do they have somebody that can do it? Can Xavier Rhodes, a guy who's very familiar with Diggs, but that's always a double-edged sword. Diggs is pretty familiar with him too. So I don't know. It's going to be really hard for the Colts in that aspect. And that's the one thing that pushes me toward the Bills in this game, is that it's hard to envision them slowing down Josh Allen the way that he's playing. Now, again, goes back to our earlier conversation. Josh Allen needs to show that playoff side of himself. He needs to take what he's done in the regular season and bring it to the postseason and rise to the occasion and not, you know, fall back into any, I don't even know if I'd call him old habits at this point because we don't see him very often. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he needs to be okay in the moment. He needs to be the guy that he's been all season. And assuming that happens, it's hard to envision Indy's defense slowing him down in a meaningful way.
We'll call them, rather than old habits, we'll call them Josh Gautier, somebody that we used to know. How about that? Do you not know that song?
Old Josh.
Old Josh? You don't like Josh Gautier?
I don't know that song, so.
Come on! You don't know? Now you're just somebody I used to know?
I do know that song.
400 faces?
I do know that song, yeah, but I don't know the
It's by Gautier.
Oh, well, yeah. Then I'll allow it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on board.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Lot to get into there, but I'm with you. I think Diggs is going to be in this game. If I had to guess, I think Beasley probably plays too. Just basing off him getting out there and coming to know who he is, what he's about, if there is any single solitary chance that he can be active for this game, he's going to do it. And even if it's not his usual full-time role, I still expect him to play some sort of role. So that's just my guess. You know, I don't really know one way or the other if he's going to play, but you know, it is the playoffs after all, and usually these guys don't work all season just to sit out for a questionable tag. I would tend to think that he probably pushes through. But anyway, this Xavier Rhodes matchup is an interesting one for Stephon Diggs because I would anticipate, especially without Rocky Sin, that it would be Rhodes maybe even traveling with Diggs. The Colts don't play a lot of man coverage. They do sometimes, but they don't do it a lot. Like, for instance, the Steelers game, they played a lot of it, and I think that was mostly due to the opponent and because the
Steelers... that's why they got in trouble.
Right.
That's why they played so much man, and the reasoning they provided was that, well, you know, Roethlisberger kind of carves up zone, and man didn't work out very well for them in that game either.
Right. That I believe that long touchdown to Deontay Johnson was against zone. But the rest of the game when he was like starting to get going, it was against man. And that leads me to believe that if they are ever in man coverage, then Stephon Diggs is going to do really well against Xavier Rhodes, because even against lesser receivers, Rhodes was not able to stick with them, even on like slant routes or curls or anything underneath. And those are bread and butter type of stuff for Josh Allen and his Bills receivers. So I would anticipate the Colts playing a lot of zone, especially with the numbers that the Bills have put up against man coverage all year long. And if that was their approach, like the opposite approach going into the Steelers game, you would anticipate that the Colts would follow a similar path and play to their strengths and play a bunch of zone. But, you know, when you have Allen doing what he's been able to do, it hasn't been completely against one type of coverage or the other. He's always had the answer no matter what teams do. Like, teams have switched in game. Teams have completely abandoned their defensive identities in game to try and slow him down. Like, the Seattle game is the one that comes to mind immediately. Like, that is a zone-based team that abandoned it because Allen went 9 of 9 for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns to start the game. And then they played man coverage on, I believe, 76% of the snaps, passing snaps past that point. And they are not set up to be man cover guys. So you have to pick your poison here. And that's why I think the only shot they have to slow down Allen is to confuse the offensive line in front of him and get some free hits and to make a move around and and make him try to force the issue and force him into a mistake. So I think Cole Beasley, if he plays, is going to be a pretty sizable role, especially against this zone defense. You brought up Darius Leonard, who, yeah, he uses a lot of that stuff as motivation. I remember talking to him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago. Super nice guy. Nobody was even talking to him. He wasn't up at a podium or anything. He was just kind of sitting at his lunch table, you know, just waiting for anybody to come across. It's like, oh, this is a really nice dude. But he's also a really damn good linebacker. And now I think what he does in zone coverage and how fluid he moves makes him into just such a weapon for what the Colts do. So that's where Beasley comes into play. Because one thing Beasley is really good at is finding those soft spots and using the positioning of the linebackers against them and falling in behind them to find those little weak areas. And admittedly, it's going to be a lot tougher against Leonard than some other linebackers that are not as fluid as he is. But I think Beasley, as long as he plays, I think it's going to be one of those games, because if the Colts go to man coverage, I don't think it's going to be pretty for them. I think they're going to stay within their principles, stay within what got them there. Don't get cute about it. Try to create some pressure, however they need to do it, but mostly stick in zone and just hope that they can slow down Josh Allen a little bit and hope that they can hold him to under 30 points. Because if they do, then they might have a shot of winning this thing. But if they don't, then the Bills are going to be advancing to the second round.
Yeah, they've shown that they can keep up in high scoring games. I think the big thing for the Colts will be they don't necessarily have to, like, Josh Allen and the Bills offense are going to get theirs, which is still, you know, a new concept, I think, for me to get used to, but they will get theirs. They will score. The big thing, I think, for the Colts defense, and this is something that they've really been about on defense all season, is they're going to most likely need a big play, be it a turnover or, you know, probably a turnover, but, you know, a few big sacks by Buckner or Leonard. They're going to need something that turns the tide a little bit in their favor. They have been a team that they have one of the best turnover differentials in football at plus 10. When you look at their toxic differential, which I believe we've referenced on here before, you combine a team's turnover differential with their explosive play differential. The Colts are second in the NFL behind only the Chiefs with a plus 44 toxic differential. That's pretty good. The Bills are seventh in the NFL with a plus 23. So that defense probably needs a big turnover that flips the field or something. And they need to, you know, they've been good at limiting explosive plays, but they've been at their best limiting explosive plays in the running game. They haven't been all that good limiting explosive plays in the passing game. They're just okay at that. So I think it's going to take, you know, some big time play from their two stars, Buckner and Leonard, to really have a chance. And then, you know, a turnover somehow, any way they can get it, probably more than one, because one doesn't seem to be enough to slow down this Bills team. And then I think they have what it takes on the other side of the ball to somewhat keep up, but, you know, you're not beating the Bills if you're letting them get to 35, which is what they've been doing with regularity for a while now. So a lot of pressure on the big names, I think, on the Colts defense, because they're the ones that create those big plays.
Yeah, no doubt. They will be getting Kari Wills back. They're one of their starting safeties. He'll be back from a concussion. But like we've pointed out a couple of times, they will not have one of their starting corners in Rocky Sin. But they will have, you know, for the most part, a pretty healthy group led by DeForest Buckner. I think their nose tackle, Grover Stewart, is a pretty good player. He gets some penetration. And one other defender I'll kind of throw into the mix that is only a part-time role, pass rush specialist guy, but Kamoko Ture really put some good speed off the edge. And so he's someone that could give either Darrell Williams or Deion Dawkins problems if they don't take get their feet underneath them quickly enough. So that's someone just to maybe keep your eyes peeled for on third downs and such like that. But let's switch it to the defensive side, because you kind of got us there. I think, you know, Phillip Rivers, certainly he can still get the ball to his receivers accurately. The big worry, which is an obvious one based on how he's been playing over the last few weeks, is the running game with Jonathan Taylor, because that has been their primary identity. I mean, he just completely crushed the Jaguars, had a 45-yard touchdown run basically to put that thing out of contention for Jacksonville and clinch that playoff spot for Indianapolis after the Bills took care of the Dolphins. So when you have a guy who's running that well and a really good interior line in front of him in left guard Quentin Nelson, the center Ryan Kelly, and then the right guard Mark Lewinsky, then you have somewhat of a problem, especially when the Bills defensive tackles, who have played better as of late against the run, have not really had that fully consistent effort all the way through. And we even saw little bits and pieces of the defensive tackles getting pushed around a little bit against Miami. So, I wonder if that's going to be a major point to start this game. But the running game is only going to be a successful component for them if they can stay ahead or stay right at level pegging with the Bills. Because if the Bills jump out to a lead, then, you know, Jonathan Taylor isn't going to be as much of a factor. Nyheim Hines will start to come into the game, and then you'll see the Matt Milano versus Nyheim Hines pass-catching running back kind of matchup forming. But it all leads to Phillip Rivers. And if they are forced to play in catch-up mode, he is mistake-prone enough at this point in his career to lead me to believe that he's going to offer one up to the secondary. And that's where someone that, you know, Micah Hyde has been probably the unluckiest safety in football over the last couple of years. He only has two picks to his name. He's constantly around the ball. He hasn't gotten those random bounces, but he's usually in the right position, usually taking away the deep parts of the field. And Phillip Rivers will take those deep shots. I wonder if the Colts get down, if finally this, with Rivers trying to push it down the field and just being a little bit off like he's prone to being from time to time, I wonder if maybe this is the week we see Hyde really take off with a game-changing play, because it's all right there for him. The matchup is ripe for it. The potential game script is ripe for it. He's playing really well, even though the interceptions don't kind of come with it. So that's kind of how I'm thinking this game could go. But again, it all depends on the Bills' offense handling their business and forcing the run game out of this game.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers is an interesting opponent because he's not quite who he used to be, but he is still capable. And you're not going to throw anything at Phillip Rivers that's necessarily going to take him by surprise. He's seen just about everything. He's had a fair amount of success. It would have been 2018, would have been the last time he played against the Bills. Carved up that defense pretty good. 2018 was also the last time the Bills played the Colts and Frank Reich. And while it was Andrew Luck and it was a Bills team that wasn't very good, a lot of the pieces on the defense were in place.
Was that the 37-5 game?
That was. And which was obviously, you know, Josh Allen was hurt in that game. Derek Anderson played. Like I said, Andrew Luck had not yet retired and he was having a great year. But if you remember, that was a game where the Colts really ran the ball well, ran all over the Bills. And a lot of it was, you know, scheme related, good scheme, good play calls and stuff that gave the Bills a lot of trouble. And they still do a lot of that stuff. So I think that's something to be mindful of with their running game. They have a running back who can run through tackles. He's going to run downhill at you. And that's, you know, these are the types of running teams that I think have given the Bills some trouble this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phillip Rivers. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say on Taylor, I mean, there's a couple of things that make him unique too. Like he'll run right downhill at you, but you'll also be a defender getting ready for contact right in the running lane. And then all of a sudden he'll put a move on you and he has enough shake to make you miss completely. And then he's out in open space. So there's that element to him. And then there's also this tricky little pull right pitch play left that they've done over the last 2 weeks that has been incredibly successful that they try to time up after establishing it all game long. And that goes for big yardage because it catches the defense napping. So, you know, he's more, even more than just the powerful runner, but he's got some juice to him too. Like he can get down the field in a hurry and he can make people miss. And that's why he's playing as dynamic as any runner is going right now. But go ahead on Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, something clicked with Jonathan Taylor around midseason, and Tyler Dunn did a great story on him over at his new site, golongtd.com, if you go check that out. You know, the Colts running backs coach was pretty blunt with him about needing to be more direct, not, you know, waiting so long or not, you know, the style needs to change. What works in college doesn't work in the NFL. And I think something clearly is working for Jonathan Taylor. He is playing as well as any running back not named Derrick Henry right now. And since week 11, he's second in rushing yards to Derrick Henry, second in yard or runs of 10 plus yards, and second in runs of 20 plus yards. So he has been really, really good throughout the second half of the season, and he's a problem. He's where the offense starts, which is kind of, you know, the point about Phillip Rivers is that he is prone to making a mistake. And he had, I'm not sure if it's, he's still figuring out, I think, as all quarterbacks do when they get to that age, what he can still get away with, what he's still talented enough mm-hmm. to get away with. And he probably shouldn't push the ball downfield as much as he does, but he does. 5 of his 11 interceptions this year came when he was throwing the ball 20 or more yards down the field. So he still tries it, and it occasionally bites him. Now, it's weird because, of course, if you can bring him down, that's the best way to stop any quarterback. But he's pretty good against the blitz. He averaged 8.6 yards per attempt against the blitz this season, which was third in the NFL. He gets rid of the ball really quickly, 2.52 seconds on average, which is fifth fastest in the NFL. So he's not necessarily going to be a guy that you want to send a bunch of heat at because they play in that short area all the time. And like I said, he's seen a lot. So if you're trying to, you know, disguise your looks and bring extra pressure, which the Bills have been pretty good at, you know, it's something that I think helped their defense turn a corner a bit. But I think Phillip Rivers is smart enough to take advantage. He's got the weapons to take advantage. You know, T.Y. Hilton, you know, is a guy that can do some damage.
He can still do it, man. He's still a great route runner.
All of a sudden, he's another guy something really clicked for in the second half of the season.
They started making his snaps go down a little bit, playing a smaller percentage and saving him, and it's really helped him kind of, you know, maximize the reps he is out there. And the results can speak for themselves. He's been awesome.
Yeah, he finally looks healthy, and I think he probably wasn't 100% earlier in the season. All 5 of his touchdowns came in the last 6 games for the Colts. So he is certainly someone still worth worrying about. They occasionally, not often, but occasionally move him into the slot to try to free up some space and get him open. Naheem Hines is you know, a real threat in the passing game. Jonathan Taylor can catch the ball as well mm-hmm. When he needs to. He really is a do-everything type of running back, somebody who's really, really good. But Yeah, that's the weird part about trying to get after Phillip Rivers. It's kind of similar to maybe what you'll, you know, I think you could probably deploy a similar plan that you did against Ben Roethlisberger. But I think Rivers might be playing better at this stage. I don't know. It's tricky. Ben really took a nosedive, but he's also all over the map. And Ben's got much better weapons around him. But I don't know. I think Rivers is not exactly a slouch at this point. But to your point, he could turn the ball over in key moments. It's kind of been his thing. And if he tries to get greedy pushing the ball down the field, I think that's where, you know, trouble might come in.
Yeah, definitely. And if they're not going to bring external pressure and try to bring more than four guys, the Bills, that is, I'm saying, I do think they have some pretty solid matchups on the edges. You know, their starters are going to be Jerry Hughes at left defensive end working against the right tackle, and then Mario Addison on the right side working against the left tackle. And the left tackle, they are down to Jared Veldheer, who I believe is a practice squad call-up guy. I mean, veteran guy. He started a lot of games, and you see a lot of those guys on practice squads this year. But he started last week against Jacksonville. I think he's going to be the starting left tackle again this week in the playoff game because, you know, they're without Anthony Costanzo. He's done for the year after going on IR. You know, their other two options are Chaz Green and Holden, and both of those guys are dealing with injury right now. So so it looks like it's going to be Veldheer. And then on the right side, it's Braden Smith, who is a good run blocker. Don't get me wrong, but I do think some quick feet can get around him and get by him in pass protection. And that's, I mean, he's going to be working as Jerry Hughes, who is the most explosive and most explosive established pass rusher they have going right now. So that's going to be a couple of matchups that could get home within the time that you need to make Phillip Rivers make a mistake. You know, I think back to that Titans game back in, I don't know, what was that, week five, that that the Bills were getting to the quarterback. They were getting to Tannehill. He was just getting the ball out super quickly and accurately, and it was just kind of a tip-your-cap game to him because he was able to do all these things. But I think with Rivers, you can expect more mistakes if you get the same amount of pressure only with four guys, as long as you are winning your one-on-ones up front. So I think those two guys, Addison and Hughes, are going to be absolutely essential to this. So for when the Colts do drop back to pass early on in the game, or even late in the game, if the Bills are up and they're trying to stave off some late game heroics from Phillip Rivers to make it into a Chargers-like atmosphere, because he is prone to do that and make it into just a ridiculous ending. I think those two guys, Hughes and Addison, are gonna play a major part to potentially forcing a turnover. All right, I think we should get into the prediction, right? I mean, we've talked about this matchup for a good 40 minutes now. I think all that's left to do is to pick it. So Bills favored by 6.5 points at home. And the total is 51, which has gone down since I last checked it. It was last at 52 yesterday. So, Matthew, who do you got? Who beats the spread? And I think I know we're going to go with the over-under.
I've got the Bills 34-20. I think they win pretty comfortably. I think they cover the spread, and I think the over hits. The over might get a little uncomfortable in this game, but that's part of the beauty of the over. I do think, as we saw last week, where we just totally whiffed with the under, I think all it takes is one of those games from the Bills, right? You know, and they've been putting them up with regularity at this point. So, you know, I'm not saying they're going to get to the over under by themselves this week. That would be a little crazy, but they do have the potential to take a big chunk out of it, and that helps. And I think the Colts move the ball well enough to chip away themselves. So I do like the over, but I think the Bills won this game pretty comfortably. I thought that way earlier in the week. Haven't really come off it too much, but you know, I think as you know, the injury news came out and everything, it seems like the Bills are going to be good to go, and I don't see too much of a reason why they shouldn't win this one handily.
Not only did the Bills hit the over last week by themselves, they destroyed it by 13.5 points, which is just, I don't think anybody was expecting that. But anyway, so for this matchup, I think a lot of the same as you. I think this is a game where the Bills should take off. And I don't see enough from the Colts secondary on film to warrant a legitimate, or their pass rush for that matter, to warrant a legitimate amount of concern that the passing offense will be able to do what they need to do in this game and what they have been doing. I don't think it's probably not going to be a 45 plus point game for the offense again, because they'll need some things to go their way defensively in order to make that happen. But I do think this Bills team is going to get in the 30 plus point range and you know, force the Colts to try and keep up with them. And I just don't see enough from this Colts team when they're in a negative game script to be able to take the game away from another team that probably should have won the game. You know, we saw the Steelers come back the way that they did a couple of weeks ago, and that was a game that the Colts should have won, but the Steelers came back and took that game, and once the Colts knew that they had to start throwing, they, you know, it just wasn't working for them. So I'm going to take the Bills to win. I'm going to take the Bills to cover. And I have done enough of taking the under for the rest of the year, so I will gladly take the over on this one and take the Bills 36-23, beating the over by 8 points. So take that, Vegas. I look forward to the under hitting, just to shut me up.
Yeah, it's bound to happen eventually.
I know.
It's just, you don't even feel good when you pick it.
They've been averaging 47 points over the last three games. I can't, in good conscience, pick the over or pick the under when this team is rolling like it is.
It feels like a low over-under. It feels like there's still some adjusting that needs to be done. The Bills played like a college game last week, you know, like with the amount of points that were scored on both sides. Not that the Dolphins came anywhere close, but those are the type of games that you see in college where one team is just whooping the other team and, you know, there's some garbage time points and, you know, you get, that's how, I mean, not that I would know anything about this, but betting over unders in college football seems like quite stressful. and I imagine if you're betting the under in Bills games, you're a lot more stressed out than if you're betting the over.
Oh, for sure. Because I mean, I think a lot of, I mean, we thought the Bills might rest their guys more than they ended up doing, and that probably influenced the under card there, but man, they just smashed right through. And yeah, I don't really see enough from this Colts team to stand in the way of them putting up enough points in unison with whatever the Colts are going to put up to hit that over. So, all right. The Bills have a playoff game. Again, third time in 4 years. And this time, we'll get to see if they can actually extend that into a second playoff game in the same year. Matthew Fairburn, any wise words of wisdom for our listeners before we talk to them next after the playoff game?
I'd say be smart. There's going to be 6,700 of well, probably not all our listeners. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe they're all that's about our listener base.
That would be amazing.
Somewhere in there.
That would be just amazing all our if listeners it's just the Buffalo Beat.
But perhaps most of our listeners or some of them will be there. I just hope people are smart and enjoy this, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, wondering about what will come, you know, down the road. What, you know, is this team going to win the Super Bowl? Is this team going to win the AFC East for the next 10 years? You know, how many Super Bowls are they going to win by the end of it? Take it as it comes. Enjoy it. be smart out there with everything going on. And I think, you know, enjoy the moment, because this is a team that, you know, could do something pretty significant. And, you know, these seasons don't come around all the time. This will be the first home playoff game in a long, long time since, 1997. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're looking ahead, you know, enjoy, look around and enjoy that you're there and that the Bills are there.
Well said. All right. So the Bills taking on the Colts Saturday at 1:00. We hope you all have fun watching the game, and we look forward to speaking with you all once the game concludes and seeing if the Bills can become the first team in the NFL, besides the one seeds, to qualify for the divisional round. So should be fun. All right, so for Matthew Fairburn, my name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Buffalo Beat, and we will talk to you after the game on Saturday. See you then.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.